Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we look at the readings for the 10th week in Ordinary Time. You know, it's funny to call it Ordinary Time because nothing is ordinary when it's related to the Lord, but it's ordinary in the sense that it's not a particular season of feasts. You know, we have the season of Lent, and we have the season of Advent, and we have the glorious season of Easter and the season of Christmas. Church doesn't celebrate for one day. We shouldn't either. But those are the extraordinary ones, and we go back to ordinary time. But it's never really ordinary. It's just simply to distinguish it from the times of special feasting. The first reading for today is taken from the beginning of the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the holy ones, through Achaia, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all encouragement, who encourages us in our every affliction. God wants to lift up our hearts. That's what it means to encourage, to lift up, to hold up our hearts. And God wants to encourage us, who is the God of all encouragement. He wants to encourage us in our every affliction so that we may be able to encourage those who are in any affliction, encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged by God. In other words, what Paul is saying is that God, who is the God of all encouragement, wants to support us and uphold us and lift up our hearts in the midst of every affliction we encounter. And then because of that, we in turn encourage others, not with our own encouragement, but with the encouragement we experienced from Christ. Have you experienced encouragement from Christ? Have you opened your heart to receive it? Sometimes when we're in difficulties, hard situations, We first and middle and last need to turn to Christ and say, Lord, uphold me, strengthen me, help me through this time of affliction, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional. Lord, help me to walk through this time. And then when we begin to experience that encouragement, we then turn to others and give not our own encouragement, but we give out of what we received from Christ. That's what God wants to do for us. For as Christ's sufferings overflow to us, so through Christ does our encouragement also overflow. If we are afflicted, it is for your encouragement and salvation. God wants to use the affliction that we experience to show others how God supports us in the midst of difficulty. It's a great part of evangelism. If we are encouraged, it is for your encouragement, which enables you to endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is firm. For we know that as you share in the sufferings, you also share in the encouragement. Paul experienced encouragement from God, but remember, Paul had given him everything. I live, he said, now not I, but Christ lives in me. See, it's that giving over of ourselves totally so that God can be, as we read many times, he can be all in all. But so many of us don't open up to the Lord. So many of us don't even believe that God exists. How can we bring encouragement to others, real encouragement, if we have not received it from him? Taste and see the goodness of the Lord, says Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Bless the man who takes refuge in him. Where do you find refuge when you're going through difficulty? Turn to him. Turn to him. And then the encouragement you receive, you will be able to be a channel of it to others. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, I'm sure the first time he said this, the disciples did not know what he was talking about. But they learned how to lean on him, draw from him, be supported by him. They learned to receive the Holy Spirit, that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave them and he gives us of his Spirit to speak to our hearts, to give us the wisdom and the understanding, to give us the faith and the hope and the love we need. You're not orphaned. You're not alone. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, now, in Jewish times, for a teacher, if you sat down, that meant you were giving a very, very important instruction. Not just a nice one or a good one, but something foundational. So it says here that after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is one powerful section of the gospel. They all are. But in a particular way, we need to begin to really understand what the Beatitudes are. And Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12 gives them to us. Now, let's take the first one today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Not it will be, but it is. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Once again, I turn to one of my favorite scripture commentaries, Merikakis, and his four-volume study of the Gospel of Matthew. It's entitled Fire of Mercy, Heart of the Word. Fire of Mercy, Heart of the Word. And here's what Merikaki says about blessed are the poor in spirit. What Jesus here intends, he says, is most likely not a neatly spiritualized attitude of interior detachment. It's not that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Draw from God. I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need the other thing. Those things are good. But what he's saying here is it's far more than that. He says It is an existence that is one's very breath. It's an existence, one's very breath. Each moment we inhale air is wholly dependent upon God's mercy and providence. Let me put that in other words. If I am poor in spirit, then I am living my life where every breath I take comes from God. I live out of that. Every breath I take, everything I do, the origin of it is God. It is not in me. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. That I know everything good that is in me has come from God. Everything that is wrong in me is because I've turned away from that good and decided to go my own way. That is not being poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit says, God is my Savior. Without him, I perish. God is my Father. Without him, I would not have life. I would not be sustained in life. I would not have even the possibility of eternal life. I can live forever because of what God did for me in Christ. And he gave me of his Holy Spirit that I might have all the gifts I need to live faithful to the gospel and to reach the minds and the hearts of all those I come in contact with. To be poor in spirit is to know that it is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who give me everything I need at every moment. My very breath, my next breath, is drawn from the life of God within me. It's not just my lungs. My lungs cooperate, but my lungs aren't the source, brothers and sisters. It's God who is the source. And that's why Matthew says here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't mean that someday maybe I'll have a chance, but if I am living as one poor in spirit, that is my source. My root is certainly not in myself. If it is, get rid of it because it will kill you. But the source of my life is not in my gifts. They were all given to me. I'm not the source. The source is God. And I want to live my life in such a way that that's reflected. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Merikaki says, air is like grace. It's the sine qua non of our life, our very existence. It's to be radically dependent, to long for God in this way. And it's declared by the Beatitudes to be the greatest fortune and bliss, to cling to God with one's whole being and have nothing to offer of one's own is the highest fulfillment of the Beatitudes. Think about it. And God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.